This is Leo Baybue for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio, and I have the pleasure today of conversing with Barb Hollanday, who is a member of the Northwoods Pioneer, is it gallery or do we say co-op now, crafts co-op?
Gift and gallery.
Okay. Anyway, Barb, you have been involved with this organization, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary coming up this Saturday, June 18th. That's the anniversary, and you've been involved since 1976, doing the math, it's about 46 years. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the beginnings of the Pioneer Crafts Co-op? And I'm going to call it that because I think that was your original name of the organization. Can you tell us how you became a member, what spurred you to become a member, and what you remember about the beginnings, the origins of the Pioneer Co-op?
Well, I joined the co-op when I was probably in my 30s. I won't say how old I am now. And I started doing quilts and Barbie doll clothes because I had a young daughter at the time, and I was making Barbie doll clothes.
Ah.
And one of my friends had suggested I join. And actually, the co-op was started, was Northwoods Pioneer Crafts Co-op, and it was started as a Arrowhead Economic Grant for low-income people, I think, when it started and opened up in 1972. And I joined in 1976. It's gone through a lot of changes, and we were, a lot of people remember, we were in the old building, which had a lot of character. It used to be a bar at one time at Silver Cliff.
Yes.
And then we moved up to Castle Danger in 1999, and the reason we moved was because they put the Silver Cliff Tunnel in, and people were not able to see us. They just didn't know where we were located. And I can't remember how many members, but I know one of the original members probably left the co-op maybe 5-6 years ago. It's kind of interesting. I knew so many people, and there's been so many members. It's just astronomical. It's just fun. Everybody does craft and gets together.
I think what I read is that you had something like 55 current members, but you must have had hundreds of people come through the doors as participants in the last 50
right.
years.
Right. We're probably into the thousands, and actually But when we were at Silver Cliff, we had around 150 members. And when we first started, we also had a bus, a school bus in Virginia where we sold crafts. So we had members on the Iron Range, too, at the time.
So you almost had like a satellite or a mobile unit as part of your...
But keeping a bus going is not really... it's hard. They break down. And we used to take it to craft fairs. But I think it was at one of the... I want to say Mine in the Pines, but I'm not sure. And some of those members, after we closed the location up there, because we only had that during the summer, traveled all the way down to Two Harbors, up to Silver Cliff, and were still members. Some of them were still members when we opened up the new the shop in Castle Danger.
So over the years, you had members who were from pretty far off, say, in the Iron Range direction. Do you also have people that are from outstate Minnesota, or are almost most of your members really in the Arrowhead area?
Most of our members are in the Arrowhead area. If you move away, you still can be a member. And we do have some in other areas, but not a lot, because we, as a co-op, we require members to work 5 days a week out of the year for their membership. And when you don't live in the area, it's kind of hard, but they also have an opportunity to have somebody else do their days for them so that they still do participate. But the majority are from this local area. We have some from Superior, and, you know, some people travel quite a distance to come and belong to the shop and work.
Yeah, and I thought it was relevant to talk about our region has a pretty strong co-op history, and being a member of a craft co-op might be kind of a unique twist on co-op membership. It means you're a part owner, doesn't it, to be a member of the co-op? You talked about having a work obligation. That's primarily what people are committing to. It's not so much a money investment, but to help in the running of the business with a few days of the year of their own sweat equity in the gallery.
That is correct. And then, you know, part of it is you're also putting your craft in there and you're selling that, and the co-op takes a portion, which means that the co-op is able to continue running, hire somebody to mow the lawn or to paint the building,
right,
or coordinate what is going on inside, putting out crafts, getting new members, working with the advertising and, you know, different things like that. So that's part of your obligations, to have crafts that really are unique and sell.
Is it in some way juried at all? Do people have to kind of audition their work for being represented, you know, having their stuff on the shelves and on display?
Yeah. Yes, they do. They have to, when they first join, they have to present it, and then there's kind of a committee. Usually, I think we do it at board meetings to determine whether their items are things that we want in the shop.
Right.
And that will sell, because we don't want something that won't sell. And also with pricing, pricing is probably one of the harder things to do. People tendency to either price too low or too high.
Actually, I thought that might be a sensitive issue, and was wondering, because the co-op itself is going to be getting a portion of that, whether whether there's a discussion back and forth between the board of directors and individual artists about these subjects of what the pricing is.
There is sometimes. I know sometimes Lynn Burton is our part-time coordinator, volunteer coordinator, actually, and she's always like trying to get me to raise my prices a little bit, and you know, she's right. Because if we raise our prices a little bit and they still sell, then the co-op makes more money, which in turn allows us to pay our taxes, you know, the upkeep on the building, and keep it running so members can sell their crafts. Some people make a lot of money, some people don't make a lot of money. I think it's just the camaraderie of belonging to the co-op and being able to produce things, and it's just kind of fun.
Yeah, it probably happens that some people are going to be much more reliant on getting some significant revenue from what they produce versus other people who just love what they're doing and would probably tend to undervalue what they're putting on the shelf because they're not really dependent on the money, and they'd like to see people walk away with their, you know, with the items that they made and spread it around. So that's kind of a little tension between the people who really need to make revenue versus those who are just in it for the joy that they find in creating.
You know, there might be, there are some people who do a lot of craft sales besides the cooperative, and they have items at other places, I'm sure. They're more dedicated to making part of their livelihood.
Right.
As opposed to some people who don't really, they just want to produce things and they want to make crafts. They make more than they can give away to their friends and family.
Right.
And yeah, and I don't think there's any real tension about between that. I think everybody's happy to see people.
Yeah, something. What struck me when you talked about how the early days of the Pioneer Co-op went, that it was partially a project that was intended to help folks in rural area who needed income. And I also noted it sounded like it might also have had a focus on folks who are older and them making some income from their craft. So that's why I wondered if some people are more able to price their wares at what they're really worth, and others are you know, not paying that much attention to that issue. And everybody kind of wants to be on a level playing field, I think. So that's why I asked about how the board handles that.
Yeah, the board gives suggestions.
Ah, okay.
You know, some people do undervalue their things. I mean, it's just human nature, I think, because most of the co-op members are not like real business. I shouldn't say this. They're not business people who are out selling every single day, and that's how they make their living.
Right.
They're doing it as kind of a hobby.
Right. They may not be creating a ledger of following every week what they're making there. And yeah, it's a different level of interest. I bring it up because, as having been a member of a farmer's market, there used to be a tendency at some point for some of the vendors who all grew similar items to go over and talk to someone saying, you're kind of changing people's expectations for what that item should cost by underpricing relative to the rest of us. So that
I can understand.
That could be some peer pressure. Like, you know, people think that this stuff doesn't take a lot of investment of time and money if you underprice your wares.
Right. That is so true.
Now, you've had a pretty big role, I guess you'd call it a managerial role, in that for at least nine or 10 years that you were a coordinator?
About 9 years, from 1989 till we started the new building. Then I left when we were starting the new building up in Castle Danger.
Okay.
Then I kind of retired from that job. I've still been on the board a couple times since then, and I just I've just had served my terms on the board this last year, and I'm not on it any longer, which it's fun. You get to know the more workings of the co-op, and yeah.
Right, and it's not a requirement that people eventually serve on the board, so this is definitely something where people that are going to take it seriously step up in the role, and I'm sure it's a volunteer role.
It's a volunteer role, and it's a good learning experience, and you learn more how the co-op works, how the craft store works, if you're on the board. And actually, by doing your 5 days a year at attending counter, you get to see a little bit more about what people buy, what is selling, and you get to interact with customers, because most of our customers are tourists, and they come from all over, and they're fascinating.
Now, not everybody is a born salesperson or a sales rep,
no.
So do people get trained, and do people kind of need to be given somebody to tag team with if really speaking to the public is not their thing?
At the beginning, basically all you have to do is say hello when they come in the door and ask them what they want and give them a little spiel about how the co-op works. Some people are a little shyer and some people are really outgoing and can sell anything. It's kind of like conversation when you're with the customers.
Sure.
It's not like in a big store where you're just sliding things across. You kind of try and get to know a little bit about the customers. And sometimes if you have a long line and you're the only person checking out, you got to add a little humor.
Right. Yeah. Of course. So folk that are staffing the store, I was going to say manning and womaning. I don't know. Is it a pretty even split between the genders
ages? I would say that our membership probably is more on the female side. We do have quite a few gentlemen, and most of them will tend counter.
Right.
Most people, the majority of our members do staff the counter, tend counter, which is really good because, you know, we're a co-op. We don't make a lot of money. And having the members, and then you find out what's going on, too. You know, what sells, what doesn't sell. You just have more of a feel for the co-op.
Absolutely. And does that feedback help? You can't overnight kind of change the mix of what you offer. I assume that if you have quality work, you want it to be presented and let the public, you know, pick what they want. But you wouldn't be kicking somebody out just because they made beautiful work, but for one reason or another, it was in a slow sales trend.
No, nobody ever gets kicked out of the co-op. Don't sell, you probably don't bring as much of that particular one in. And people that sell a lot, like some of our artwork, our watercolor work, really sells quite a bit. And we've got great pottery. And certain things sell at certain times, and sometimes they'll be slow.
Yeah.
So we try and, I think they kind of try and, you don't want to have too much of things that don't sell. And we try to get people to rotate their things, and if they've been there for a while, to take them out and replace them with something that's new or replace them with something else that would be more saleable. Part of our job of our board and our coordinators.
Right.
Coordinator.
I suppose if there's an old reliable that has sold well for a long time, you might be concerned when somebody wants to completely turn over what they're doing and go out on a limb and try something completely new. You kind of want them maybe to keep doing the old stuff while they do the new, because you never know what the reception might be.
Oh, it's remarkable. I remember at the old store shop down at Silver Cliff, the one thing that was really, really popular was Melvin Mose. I don't know if anybody remembers him. His Barnwood picture frames.
Oh.
He must have sold thousands of those Barnwood picture frames. I think every picture that was bought sometimes got one of his frames with it. And that's one thing you never would have wanted to get rid of.
You mean dovetailed, where prints or other drawings or paintings could be framed by one of the other members? Do you have anything along those lines today? That sounds like a very special opportunity.
It was. We do not have a woodworker making Barnwood frames. I don't know. I think Barnwood frames are still popular.
Right.
And
so
it's
here's a
rustic
call. Let's just say to the listening audience, there's a hint there about what might be a good idea.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I know you're always looking for the next innovation that might, you know, benefit the co-op. That's an interesting idea. I'm speaking today with Barb Hollanday, who is with the Northwoods Pioneer, now called Northwoods Pioneer Gallery, but I'm just going to continue calling you the Craft Co-op, Barb, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Your current coordinator, Lynn, did a great job of sharing with us why this was a wonderful story to talk about your 50th anniversary of the gallery up at 2821 Highway 61. That's 11 miles northeast of Two Harbors. And I think that you filled me in on the fact that it's the original site of a pretty important place locally that used to occupy the site that you're at now. You want to fill us in on that?
We purchased the Rustic Inn. The old Rustic Inn used to sit on our property. We purchased that property when they built their new Rustic Inn, which is maybe half mile down the road even, and then we built our building there. But it used to be the Rustic Inn property at one time. I think it wasn't big enough of an area for them. So
Right, and it's not the original building that you're occupying now, but you are at the site. If anybody wants to know, where did the rustic originate? There it is, right across the road from that big lodge on the lake.
And that was just cabins at the time.
Right, good point. It wouldn't have looked anything like it currently does. But it's an easy reference point now. If you've passed the Grand Superior Lodge, you have just driving northwards or southwards, you've just passed where the gallery is. And this Saturday is quite a shindig planned. I know, unfortunately, you're not able to make it, Barb, but can you share anything about what's going on that day? I know there's going to be good food.
Well, the baptism barbecue is going to be having food there, and I believe that people will be able to get sandwiches. I believe we have gifts that are given to members. There's going to be a vendor fair outside, a vendor craft fair, and a lot of them are members from the co-op. So
great.
It's going to be fun.
So this is open to the public, and
of course, for the vending.
And it's going to be more or less rain or shine, probably not the kind of a day you can have a makeup day for.
No, it'll be rain or shine, and I think it's going to be nice and warm.
Excellent. Well, I may not make it myself, but I know a number of people who have been loyal customers over the years probably want to stop by and greet you folks. Your current coordinator, Lynn, mentioned the eccentric and eclectic group of people that have been part of the organization, and I think we should salute all of the people that made this really grassroots thing happen for all these 50 years. I'm curious, Lynn mentioned in one email to us that there were lots of interesting stories over the years, and she mentioned that there was a time when a porcupine wandered into the co-op. Do you know anything about that?
I do not know anything about that. I do know about when they were building the tunnel and they did a blast and rocks came through the door and broke a few of our items.
Oh my gosh.
Fortunately, we were closed.
Yeah. Wow. That's the kind of excitement that, you don't want that too often.
I was a coordinator at the time and got the call and think, oh, that's interesting.
So, Barb, are your wares still at the gallery? And what would we find that was from your hands?
Well, I do decorative painting. Okay. I paint ornaments, I paint glass blocks, I paint concrete pavers, I paint plaques. I just do a bunch of things. I think I'm like a jack of all trades and master of none. I've tried lots of many things during the time that I've been a member. I've also knit some hats and... I make the scrubbies that are at the shop and just a variety of things.
So you've been willing to mix it up. That's great to hear.
Yes, I do.
You have a lot of interest, so you've had a chance to explore them through your membership there. Wow, it's great. Been great talking to you, Barb. I appreciate your time very much and hope to see you up there at some point. And people remember we've got a 50th anniversary celebration happening this Saturday, June 18th, up at the Northwoods Pioneer Gallery on Highway 61. Thanks for joining us today, Barb.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. You take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Barb Hollanday is a former coordinator and a longtime member of the Northwoods Pioneer Crafts Co-op and Gallery. They're having their 50th anniversary this week. This is Leo for KTWH.